Blog Talk Radio.
It's another beautiful day on Brown Sugar Radio. Get ready to ignite a passion and purpose of overflow. Cherish the value of being you and nurture your soul. Handle your business like a boss and take full control. I invite you to engage upon a journey of greatness and use the gifts within that God has made. This is the time to win and not to lose. So sit back, relax, and take off the blues. Get ready for another exciting segment here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's Brown Sugar Radio.
Welcome back for another segment here on Brown Sugar Radio. I am lifestyle and abundance coach Kim Bullock Hennix, just honored and excited to deliver another awesome guest. But you know, this special guest we have tonight, I don't even want to call her a guest. She's more like family, okay? This is actually her third appearance on Brown Sugar Radio. The very first time that many of my listeners actually heard from Pastor Trenisha was at my Total Woman Experience. And I think actually she appeared once or twice as a guest, because we promote the show that's coming, not the show, the conference that's coming up. And I had her be my special guest several times for my Total Woman Experience. I had, two or three. We started in 2016. And I think I brought Pastor Trenisha on in 2017, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But it was 2017, yes. And so she has been a force to be reckoned with ever since then, being our virtual pastor in the Ambitious Women Facebook group. In addition to, she actually launched her book, Tears in the – hold on, man, I'll make sure I say it right. Tears in the Chamber of Heaven. Did I say it right? Did
yes.
I butcher it?
All right now.
And so we want to welcome back at this time, introduce to some and present to others, Pastor Trenisha. Welcome back on Brown Sugar Radio, my sister and dear friend. So glad to have you. So not only is she a mother, right? She's also a pastor, an author, a businesswoman. She's got a lot going on. We welcome you back. So happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Kim. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. And this was really dear to my heart because I love what you're doing. You know, you've always been a huge influence in the community, and this series really hit home because, as many of my loyal listeners know, let me go ahead and open up the chat. Those of you who are following us on Blog Talk, join us in the chat. If you are live listening on Facebook, go ahead. We want you to share. Go ahead, like, comment, share on the post, and make sure that you spread the word about the show that's taking place tonight. We want to bless as many listeners as possible. But I just remember that, you know, when many of you know, my husband passed away in August of 2020, and so you were actually going through with your hubby one during that time when he passed
yes.
away in 2020, correct? Yes. And so let's get into it, because this is a very, very common topic. We hear about divorce, and then divorce in the church is something that I love. How open you are, and you speak about how God can heal and restore your heart, because that has often been a crossroad where a lot of Christians feel like, hey, if he's not beating me, I need to stay in this marriage. You know, I need to stay in this marriage, and God doesn't say I'm free from this. So I'm proud to see that you're leading the way and you're showing that, hey, listen, we go through things in life. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants for us to be loved. And I want to go to that journey because I know you're very transparent in that area. with Hubby One, what you went through. But for those who don't know, let's go back to that time of your life and just share a little bit what you went through.
Okay, so my ex-husband and I met when I was 12 years old, and I started dating him when I was 16. We had from six, I got married to him at 20, and for quite a few years, we had a very happy marriage. We adopted kids and birthed kids, and we went through, like, ups and downs of, you know, normal being married. You know, he lost his job for a period of time. You know, we held it down. We got it together, started buying houses, did really, really good. Well, I can't say that it was like a big fight, and I was just like, literally, he was my best friend. So we would look into our life. We would lay down at night and just talk, and we would talk about stuff. And, you know, he was very nurturing and very kind. And in fact, the day before, I call it D-Day, but the day before that, we actually went on a date. I took him out, and we talked about, at the time I was traveling, I was doing a lot of out-the-country things. I told him, I said, hey, you know, you're going to be on, he was a teacher, so I was like, you're going to be off for 3 months. Maybe we should look at the calendar and kind of plug you in somewhere so that you can do some traveling too with me. Everything was good,
right,
Kim. We were talking about houses, living in different places. Well, we came home, we went to sleep, woke up morning. I said good morning, as I would normally do, good morning, and he walked by me like he never heard my voice. And from that time to this day, he had to speak. He has not said anything to me. There was no argument. There was no fight. There was no I hate you, you hate me too. There was no anything. And I think one of the hardest things for me to get over was the fact that, to me, there was no closure because I had no idea why it wasn't there. And so it was for years, but he, so I didn't want, that was my best friend. I didn't want to throw him away. So I stayed married for quite a few years after that. And finally, one day, I was like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I'm young. I feel like I'm existing, and I'm watching my best friend literally die in front of me, but living. So I initiated a divorce, and of course, after I sought counsel, I didn't just jump out and get a divorce, but I sought wise counsel, and I did end up getting a divorce. Well, now that we got a divorce, he refused to leave the house. So now I'm in situation where we're divorced, we're living in the same house, and he's still not talking. So that's kind of like where I was. So I was watching him slowly die because he went to the place where he didn't interact with the kids anymore. Very rarely, he didn't talk anymore in his room the majority of the time. So that's really what.
That's deep. That is so deep, and I remember you going through that season because there was, I don't know if you remember this or not, but in 2018, I had invited you to go with Walter and I to that marriage retreat by Family Life. Remember that? And I forgot the name of the actual retreat, but it was a marriage retreat that was out here in Lake Las Vegas. And you were telling me kind of what was going on. You was like, you know, since he just stopped talking to me, I don't know what's going on. And I was just like, okay, well, look, just invite him to this. You know, come on out. We got some tickets. Come on. You know, I think I'd even offer to comp your tickets, you know, because I knew just how much he meant to you. And you were like, I don't think he's going to go. He's not even talking to me, Jim. I can mention it to him, but I don't think I'm going to get very far. And it was so strange because to see you two, it was like Hansel and Gretel. You know what I'm saying? Like, you two really were a tag team. Yeah.
Mhm.
And so
We were really that typical.
Yes.
We were really that couple that everybody looked. We were the model for a lot of different things. And so, I mean, and he was my first boyfriend. I was his first girlfriend. So it was kind of like, you know, did it God's way. So why am I here? This doesn't make sense. I don't understand. Yeah.
Mhm. Was part of it the battle of being in leadership in the church and you know so many people are looking up to you? Is that also why you stayed so long?
It is, but it isn't. It is, but
okay.
I really believe God was going to fix it.
Yeah.
You couldn't have told me could have never told me that he wasn't going to fix it because I believed he was. And so when my wife counseled me,
not
how
you wanted it to, but he fixed it.
Absolutely. Well, the thing he fixed was God is not always going to take you outside of the trial that you're praying yourself through. So going through the years, because we were almost in the same house being divorced for almost two, three years, something like that. But he stopped talking in America back in like 2015, I believe. Around 2015, the beginning of 2016 is when he actually cut off communication and didn't talk anymore. So for the longest time, because I am in leadership, I was still going to church. He was still coming to church. We were still going to church together. And so I think in my mind, I thought one day he's going to get it. He's going to go up the altar miraculously, whatever's on his mind or whatever's happening to him is going to be reversed, and we're going to be fine. I just need to hold on. And so I went to my wife's counsel, and she said, how long are you going to stay there and die? You're in a situation.
Wow.
And so I was like, she was just like, sometimes closure is not getting an answer as to why something happens. Sometimes you just have to decide, I'm too good for this. Like, I'm just too good for this. Like, I knew I was a wife. I knew that's what I was called to be. And when you no longer want to do that, and again, some other stuff came out later, but at that point in time, I didn't know. So imagine being in the house, going through the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm asking God, just get me out of here. And God gave me peace in the midst of what I was going through. It was almost as if when he came down, his voice used to, like, seriously send me. It was a trigger for me. Because, you know, when the pandemic happened, and so he was working from home, and I could hear his voice talking and doing all that stuff, and it would irritate me. And I went to God and prayed and asked God to remove it from me. And so to this day now, I can see him. I don't feel anything. I want him to be restored, but I don't have any bitterness or anger in my heart toward him anymore.
That's it. Beautiful. And that's so important that you allowed yourself to receive that healing from God, because there's so many, individuals that are walking around with a lot of pain, a lot of heaviness, and unforgiveness. And one thing I want to share, I was just at an event a couple of days ago, and there were a few, the topic of unforgiveness had got brought up, and by all means, I understand the pain. Okay, but what we have to realize is the forgiveness is not for the offender. The forgiveness is for us. It's for us. And I shared with them, I said, listen, you holding on, queen, to that unforgiveness is like you drinking the poison and you expecting someone else to die from it. So we've got to wake up and understand when God is allowed, you know, things happen, people are going to do to us. Honey, I got a whole book on things that people have done to me, but am I sitting there holding them accountable and holding it in my heart and continuously harboring it? No, absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, the only person that I can be responsible for is me. We can't control anyone else's actions. They have to be accountable for their own actions, and some people never will. You may not ever get that apology. And so to watch your story, you feel me? And you said it. You're like, I did not, Kim, get that closure.
I didn't.
And to this day, you still have not, correct?
Well, I got closure. How I got closure was I just gave it to God, and I was just like, God, I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of looking at my best friend dying in front of me and just literally dying with him. And so I prayed, I fasted. And God took it out of my heart, and I don't have it. What I realized was God asked me a question, and when he asked me that question, it brought closure. He said, are you angry at what he did to you, or are you more angry that my relationship with him is not right? So with God.
Wow.
So I had to get to that place to where I had an understanding on what it is. And I realized that I was angry at what he was going through, but when I started praying for him as my friend again. And even though that love is no longer there, I don't seek a reconciliation with him. There's no any of that. And I hope him and his new wife will be happy, because that's not me. But I prayed for him. And when I started praying for him,
wow.
God burden off me to where I don't feel that anymore. But I knew one thing, Kim, and I said this from the beginning, I can't get bitter.
That's
I knew
it.
That.
Yes.
Right.
I kept saying that.
Yes.
And no matter how I had to text him to
yes.
say,
yes,
I forgive you. I forgive you. He probably got tired because it was probably like 6 months straight. And I would just, every time bitterness would try to come into my heart, I would send a text message and say, I forgive you.
Mm.
And that was for me to move forward.
Wow. I love that. That's so powerful, what you're sharing with us. So from that moment, you know, you were going through it and you're watching your best friend deteriorate right before your eyes. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, I'm sure, too. You know, a lot of different things are going on because when you shut down the communication, everything else in the marriage begins to shut down. And, you know, it's just at that moment, I know that I had, I want to say empathy, but I haven't been through anything like that at that moment. You know what I mean? Losing my, now I lost my husband in a different manner. But during that time,
right.
I know there was a great deal of sorrow that was over me, and it was a feeling of helplessness that I had, and it was just like, God, how can I help my friend? And the Lord said, pray. That's the only thing I could do was pray, which is the best thing to do, you know. But after that season, okay, you went through the divorce, you made it public, and then comes right the journaling that you did, which I absolutely love, and you took your journaling and you turned that into Dear Future Husband. And I want you to elaborate more on how this outlet you used to create and manifest the beautiful, loving relationship that you have today. It took time to get where you're at now, but during that transition, you had to do something, and Dear Future Husband was birthed. Go ahead and share with us more about that.
So when I first started writing Dear Future Husband, it was just kind of like I was reminding myself that I was still going to get married again. I was reminding myself that I would still be a wife. So I just would manifest. I would write down, and one of the writings that would be like, Dear Future Husband, today I'm taking the time to get to know what makes me happy because I realize that it's not your job. It's not, you know, and things that I learned along the way. Dear Future Husband, today was a rough day, but I never get tired of spending time with you. So it was different things. Dear Future Husband, I remember one that everybody was like inboxing me about, but it was like, you know, Dear Future Husband, every time I forgave him, every time I forgave him, every time that I said yes to keeping my heart open for love, and I talked about how I chose him every single time I did that. I chose my future because I chose not to be bitter. And so women just started inboxing me about their, you know, different things when they saw my writing. And they were just like, oh, my God, this really needs to be a book because we're just so excited about it. And they were just really excited about it. And so I decided to turn it into a book after I believe I started Dear Future Husband in 2018. And so I have writings from way back then, 2018, to now. I literally write it almost every single day.
Wow, that's beautiful. And so those, I guess you would say, those, what's the right word I wanted? I was going to say painful moments, but they're not all painful. You know, they're purposeful and passionate. So you take however you felt during that process, and you journaled it, and now it's going to become, I know, a best-selling book because there's a lot of women that have this pain. They don't know where to put it. They're still carrying it. We got to drop that off.
I think it's so important, like you talked about. There's so many things. I see a lot of people who have gotten through and went through their divorce, and then it's like they're independent now. They don't want to be in a relationship because they were hurt by whatever situation they were in. And one of the things that I knew that I did not want to do, I didn't want to be afraid to love. I didn't want to be afraid because I'm a loving person and I want to be loved and I want to be able to love. So I knew that I did not want to, I couldn't allow myself to get to a place to where I didn't want to be. But then I also came, had to understand that I had to heal the space before I filled the space. So,
yes,
you know, I went through being separated even though I was married and even though I was in the same house. You know, for 7 years we were together. We were not intimate. We were not, he didn't talk to me. There was none of that. So in an essence, it was almost like I had to, the therapist told me, I had to get to a place.
Uh-oh. Sinister, you might have hit the mute button. We lost you. Oh, no. The call disconnected. So hang tight. We will be right back. I just got to wait for her to get back on the air. One moment. Right back. All right. Thank you, everyone, for waiting. Listen, this is live, so you're getting it live, raw, and uncut. Things happen, but she's back. Welcome back. All right, Trinitia.
Oh,
sorry about that. I don't know what happened. You were talking, and it stopped right when you said, and my therapist said, and it went click.
Right.
At first, I thought you were on mute. Yeah. And then I looked at the switchboard, and I was like, oh, she's gone.
My therapist told me, he said, you have to grieve the relationship as if he died because that relationship is no longer available for you. And so I went through the stages of grief. I went through all of that. And
wow.
Even
wait a minute. He said grieve it like he died?
Because in essence, that relationship, that old person that I had, that thought for a relationship, I don't have that anymore. So even though he was alive and doing all that, I can no longer be a part of his life. So I went through the stages of grief. I went through, you know, and that's why I said I had to heal the space before I filled the space. So even though I went through the situation, I got it. There were a few people who had came and I talked to them for a period of time. And then I realized like, wait, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for a relationship. And the reason why I'm not ready is because it's still too painful. I got to fix this first. I got to close this first.
Come on.
And fix me before I'm able to get into. And I think a lot of times where I'm at right now,
I feel like, because it hasn't been 2 years yet, you know, and it's still too painful. There's a lot of things that still remind me of my husband. And so when I see foolishness, I cut it off right away. Like, I just don't have patience at all, you know, and I'm glad you said that. You realize you weren't ready. And my mother used to always say, divorce is the death of a relationship. So
it is,
you were grieving like it was a death. Wow.
And it was difficult. And another thing is that that's where a lot of people err because, you know, being by yourself for that period of time, I got to understand, I was married for 22 years from the age of 20 to, you know, 40. I was never literally by myself. So because I was never by myself, I was never able to really get to a place to where to learn to be on my own. I didn't even have a type. He was my first boyfriend.
Mm.
So I didn't have a type. I didn't even know what I liked. I had no idea. I didn't know what I liked. I dated as an adult. So it was finding out, and that's where that post that one about I'm finding out what makes me happy because it's not your job. It's my job to make myself happy. It's his job to be an asset as to what I'm already building. So learning how to do that. Learning how to do that. And so I did take myself on dates. I did. Sometimes learning what you want is learning what you don't want. I have to have an alpha male. I'm a very strong personality. I have to have an alpha male. Not somebody that's going to be rude or up not, or nothing like that, but I have to have an alpha male. I need you to be able to make some decisions. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I needed someone that was loving because I was in a relationship for so long with someone who didn't talk to me. So going long periods of time without conversation, I can't do it. It's a trigger for me. So if you're not consistent in conversation with me, I know you're not the one. You know what I'm saying? And it's got to be all day, every day. But I should be on your mind just like you're on mine. Learning how to do all of that, getting myself to a place to where, you know, I knew, like you said, the triggers. When you start seeing something, you just want to get up and get off the table. I did that too.
Quickness. I'm like, oh, he do this, I'm gone. I will cut people off so fast. I'm horrible for that. Oh, my Lord. And it's just like, I don't have the time, you know, and especially the busier you get because now you still got the same responsibilities but less help. So here you are now, mama and daddy, right, you know, and it's just like, oh, my goodness. I'm busier. I don't have time for your mess or your games. So don't come with all that. And there's been individuals that are like, oh, Cam, you need to get on Match.com and Harmony and Plenty of Fit. I mean, they've named several. And I'm just like, I just don't have the time. I don't have the time. And if you waste my time, I'm going to be furious that you came and you didn't come correct. So I feel you on that.
Right.
1,000%.
So what you got to do is, what you have to do is while you're healing that space and you're doing that, you have to also be able to get yourself in a place of God where you can actually hear. God, what are you saying about this? I don't want to look through this through the traumatized eyes. I don't want to look through this through having my feelings hurt. I don't want to look through this as, you know, through whatever. One of the things God said to me, and I really believed it, was he said, you're going to love like you've never been hurt. And so that's the healing I would seek. And it's almost as if when a woman who is pregnant sees a pregnancy test, but she's never had a miscarriage, when she sees a pregnancy test, she automatically knows that there's a baby coming. A woman who has had a miscarriage or stillborn at birth know that when you see that pregnancy test, there are things that can happen in the process of that pregnancy test and the actual giving birth. And so sometimes that's what happens with people who have been through a divorce. What happens is when you see someone says, I love you, someone says all that stuff, in your mind you're thinking this is temporary. I'm not sure how long this is going to last. I don't know what's really going to happen. And so for me, I had to get to a place to where I was friends with the guy that I'm, you know, in the relationship with now. We were friends for a period of time. And we're still friends, but we, you know, we laughed together, talked together, all of that. And that was important because I missed friendship. Above all, with my ex-husband, I missed friendship because that's where we were first. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's so powerful that you mentioned that. And I believe that's where a lot of relationships go left because they're so, I don't want to say desperate, but maybe in a rush, not taking the time. And they're just ready just to have somebody, just to say they got someone. So they hop into a relationship. And being friends first, I believe, is something that needs to really happen. That's something that needs to be introduced. And you get to know one another, right? You guys are already talking about marriage on, like, the second date. It's like, hold on, pump your brakes. Like, that runs me off.
Anyone start doing that very early, Kim. Usually, people who fall in love, very fast, fall out of love fast. You're my earth. You're my earth, wind, and fire. You know what I'm saying?
Up your brakes.
I thought I was your earth, wind, and fire. Like, what you mean? What is happening?
That part.
You know what I'm saying? And
right.
One thing I appreciate about my friend is that while we're, you know, we're in the dating stage, we laugh a lot. We talk a lot. We spend time together. We spend time on the phone. Mm-hmm. We spend time texting. We spend time together physically. But because we're not crossing the line sexually, there is a standard that we have. Because we have that, there's no, I don't have on rose-colored glasses when it comes to him, and he doesn't have on rose-colored glasses. Of course, because we both talked about insecurities. He knows there's some triggers I still have. Because I don't care how much amount of therapy you have. When you're actually faced with the situation of having to reveal, there will be triggers.
Yeah.
And you have to learn how to deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And no matter how much you try to suppress it, or you try to release it, or you try to pray it out, there's things, just being a human being, that are going to come up, and you're going to have to deal with it. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So I hear you.
When you hear God and God says this is the right relationship, first of all, the right relationship, I'm going to tell you the right relationship and the wrong relationship, because I had both. So the wrong relationship is going to cause you to compromise. It's going to cause you to change who you really are. I was in a relationship with someone, and this is after my ex-husband. I was in a relationship with someone. I was talking to him. And one day I just realized, like, I'm not happy with this. I'm not okay with this. I'm not happy. And the reason why is because I feel like I'm having to change myself to fit in your world. You know what I'm saying? I can do that. I can only be who I am. I'm the church girl. That's who I am. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay because that's who I am. And so giving yourself permission to start again as many times as you need to get it right. Don't stay in something just because you're trying to save face.
That's it.
And for
that's
what it was. I'd have been through too much not to be happy, Kim.
That's it. Listen, me and you both.
I'm not going to do it. And so sometimes in the process of learning the other person, they're going to have flaws. They're going to have imperfections. But just like he has to love me past my triggers, I have to love him past his too.
That's it. That's true.
But I
have to wait it out.
The person who brings me closer to God, we pray together, we read together, we talk about God, we talk about sermon preparation, we preach to each other, you know what I'm saying? That's what we do because that's just who I am. So, and then he asked me about my life, about what I'm doing. You know, I teach baking classes and do all that stuff. What you baking? What are you baking today? Like, he was interested in me as a whole person, and I wasn't used to that because it was like, you know, with my ex-husband, I was with him, but he wasn't interested in what I was doing outside of the house. Like, that just wasn't it. We never talked about it. And the fact that he was what's happening with my classes in Africa and what are you doing? And not only that, but he pulled resources to be able to help me. To be able to do some of the things that I'm doing.
That's a king right there, okay? Listen, I love it. Share with my loyal listeners the day you went to the hospital. That was so funny. I even reposted that on my page. I was like, this a king right here, honey. Okay, tell them what happened.
I went to the hospital. I texted him and said, yeah, I'm headed to the hospital. So before I could use that, what hospital you at? I told him what hospital I was at. Well, before I could even, so he called me, and I was telling him, like, oh, I'll give you an update. He was like, I'm already here. And he was like, you don't face things by yourself no more. And then he came with tacos. So,
listen. King came through, honey, with tacos. I said, listen, he wanted to make sure you was fed and cared for. And that's a real king. All right?
It is.
And I love it
because
you were like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in my relationships, I never felt safe. I never felt like it was us in the world. I always felt like it was me when you didn't want to deal with stuff. So I had to deal with stuff. And so having that safety, having him say, you know, you're not going to face nothing else by yourself. And I mean it, like really be there for me. Like when things happen with the kids, we talk about it. You know what I'm saying? When things happen in life, we talk about it. I could just call him. He'd be like, what's wrong with you? Like, you don't sound like yourself. What's going on? And I try to push past that, and he'd be like, no, let's come back to that. What's wrong with you? My job is to make sure you're good. And to me, that's everything, because I was the one who was out here making sure everybody else was good, and I didn't have that for somebody making sure I was good.
Wow. You was always the one checking on everybody else. And now you got someone checking on you. You like, wait a minute, is this all right? Is this supposed to be like that?
Exactly.
But that's beautiful.
Exactly. And when he showed up, when he showed up, it just let me know that he's going to show up for me. He's going to show up for me, and that's important because I told everything. I would have been okay if he had enough. But the fact that he did let me know that I could trust him.
That far. Okay. And that's the thing. I love that he's interested in what you're doing. He cares about your health and your wellness. And then how is he with your kids? That's a big one for me.
Well, they, like, we haven't done a lot of things, like, with my kids yet. But what I will say this is, he knows them. He pays attention. And, like, my daughter just had a trip where she had to go somewhere. He was invested in that. How much it costs is what it costs. Here you go. So
that's
he was
right.
invested in that. And I think that's important. Is he invested?
It is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, emotionally, financially, and, you know, mentally.
Mm-hmm.
The whole package is really important.
Right. Right. Because I don't believe in the yours and mine.
Come on.
When we get together, it's power.
Child,
okay. So we don't do that.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
We got to blend the whole family, okay?
Yeah,
we got to blend the whole family.
Absolutely.
I love this. So the book, your story is just so inspiring for many women that they have given up hope, you know, and they're afraid to love. They have the wall up, you know. Even from myself, I'm going to be honest, I have a wall up. I know I do. And it's because of the fact that I've worked so hard to be where I'm at right now. I don't have time to allow anyone in that's going to disrupt that, you know. And that's where God comes in at, you know, wholeheartedly, because I have to trust whatever God sends is going to be divine and not disruptive, you know. But how do you get
Absolutely.
To that place? Right, where you can open up and trust, because I don't want to open up and trust anybody at this point, you know, and I know that's not how God wants it to be, but I also look at it like my husband was taken from me, yours shut down on
me.
So they're kind of different, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I'm just looking at my friends and seeing what they're going through and all this nonsense and the dating and the games and all that, and I'm just like, oh, I don't have time for this. You know?
The thing is finding out who you are, finding out what you like, and giving that to God. And then God manifests. What I found out is a lot of the stuff I wrote about that he had never read, he begins to say those things. He begins to say those things back to me. Then I noticed, and a few of my posts, I actually put the messages between me and him where it actually showed he was saying, you're not the girl of my dreams, but you're the girl I prayed for. Certain things like that. So that let me know. God will give you indicators. Just like there's red flags, there's also green flags. Red flags, how do you want to stay away from? But green flags will let you know you're on the right track. And I think it kind of being on a marathon. When you're in a marathon, they have flags. Different places, and those are the places where you know you're still on track when you're running. And so when you see those, they have different things that'll put you to different places so that you can get there. So when you get there, you know, you get there to the Gatorade place, and you get your hydration, and you get the water, whatever it is, the bananas that they give you to finish the race, all of those things so that you can get there. That's how you get there so that you can move forward, and knowing that you have some noise in my background, but as you get there, see those green flags, it replaces where you are. Does that make sense? So
absolutely.
I didn't immediately just give my heart to him, but it was something that as I did, God was able to minister to me so that I could let down my guard.
The guard.
So I prayed about it. I went in relationship.
Good. Okay. And then you started seeing green flags. That's a good cue to mention because we always talk about the red flags.
Mm-hmm. So the green flags were him pushing me in my relationship with God. That's a green flag. Another green flag, not his and hers, but ours. And you can't make forever plan with someone that sees you as temporary. So where does he see? Is he making plans for us or is he making plans for him? That's another thing. Those will let you know. And his intentions were clear from day one. His intentions, I don't date just to date. I date with intention. That was clear from our first conversation all the way until now. I knew where we were going.
Dating with a purpose.
Yeah, and I wasn't confused anywhere in the relationship because a man will let you know exactly where you are. If you have to keep asking, well, how do you feel about me? And I'm not sure. And, you know, because that's what they're designed to do, the chase. That's what they're designed to do. So if you are always the one texting, if you're always the one calling, if you're always the one going out of your way, then that man, he hasn't got priority yet. So for me, those are green flags.
I'm glad you said that because, honey, a lot of the things that I see, I'm concerned. I am concerned with the new generation. I was brought up, you're absolutely right, where he that finds a wife finds a good thing, or the man pursues the woman. The man is usually the hunter. For a woman to chase down a man, for me, it makes my skin crawl. Because, you know, I teach about royalty and being a queen, and, you know, the king is the one that's sought out for the queens. He makes the selection, what he wants. And then at that moment, what the woman does, see, we approve his selection. We have that power to approve, say, okay, yeah, we approve, right? But he is the one that hunts. And that's the thing.
Right.
It's like, oh, my gosh, they have it so backwards, and I just want to scream when I see a woman constantly running down the mat, constantly, you know, blowing up his phone. I'm like this. I'm not going to be chasing after nobody, you know, because that's not divinely how God created it. If you want to even get, you know, scientifically with it, the sperm chased the egg. Come on now. I'm not about to chase down no man.
Right.
And when I see that, I feel there is a disconnect. You know, there's a huge disconnect, and it's not aligning spiritually with, I mean, I've even seen pictures on social media where there was a woman, she was about 8-9 months pregnant on bent knee, child, proposing.
Yeah, I've seen that.
To the girl, I just wanted to jump through the computer. And just be like, what is going on? And just shake some sense into her because I'm like, that is just completely out of divine order and divine flow. And so I love that you mentioned that. And like I said, y'all can call me old school, come for me if you want to. I'm not teaching my daughters to do that, and I'm not doing that. And anybody else, what y'all choose to do, that's on you. But if you ever come to any of my courses, my classes, I'm going to teach you royal protocol. And that is not the divine royal protocol, how it is followed. Absolutely not. Okay?
Right. When you take that away from a man, too, when you take that away from him, that's when you have the question. Because a real man, when he's in a relationship with you, he's going to define that relationship. If, you know, some people say, oh, you know, I don't need to post on Facebook. I don't need to do all this stuff. You know, you hear them talk about dating in secret and doing all this stuff. I'm not suggesting that you should always post somebody. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes you could be in a situation where we date the same person. And the reason
or a married man,
has to do with privacy. It has to do with he don't want everybody else to know. A man who's with you that really wants to be with you has no problem showing you off.
That part.
He has no problem.
Here's the difference between what you just said, okay? In the beginning stages, you don't know where it's going. Of course you're not going to post it.
Right.
Because I think that's tacky while you're dating to be to post, you know, 5 and 6 different people, okay? But number one, you're going to confuse us, okay? And you confuse yourself. So So why even put all that out there? Then it's embarrassing 5-6 months later, and then you have to delete all the pictures. You know, we see celebrities do that all the time.
Yeah.
What was it, Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan just recently went through that. Now she's deleted him all off the page. I mean, it's crazy. So my thing is,
I'm talking about it even beyond social media. I'm talking about what I'm talking about is sometimes people want to be private, extremely private, but the reasons why they want to be private is not private because it's just being you trying to figure stuff out. It's private because I've been in everybody's box. I'm taking out this person. I had someone hit me up. I'm telling you, true story. True story. This man hit me up, had a whole relationship.
I'm
like, honey, what I tell you. So I don't do private dating. I don't do that.
Okay.
I feel you on that
portion makes sense. Okay, that's why
different.
I was sharing this. There's two different, you know,
ways
to view that, right? In the beginning stages, you're trying to date, you're trying to feel one another out. Of course, you're not gonna post. But once you've made that decision, we are serious. We are taking things to the next level. Okay, I'm not gonna be your secret for 10 years. Like, no, absolutely not.
Yes.
You know, so once you've made the decision, like, we're an aisle.
Part of that is not even about just social media. Have you met his friends? Have you met his family? You know what I mean? Like,
for
some
real.
Of that. Like,
yes.
Yeah. So I'm not just talking about, like, Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. I'm talking about, you know, even your counselors, your accountability people, your friends, have they met him?
Mm-hmm.
Do they know him? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, when I'm serious with him, and it's now time to take them to the next level to where my counselors or my wife counsel can tell me, because sometimes they can see stuff you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what I'm
through. And I love that. Yeah, you shouldn't be a forever secret, okay? Something's definitely wrong with that picture.
Uh-huh.
And I love what you're sharing. Uh-huh. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. There is a delay with Blog Talk, and it frustrates me because sometimes I can't hear you. So then I start talking, so forgive me if I'm over-talking you. This happened the last couple of guests. It wasn't like this before. But I love exactly what you are saying because it is an eye-opener for many women. And what tip, before we close, I'd love for you to share, you know, what tip can you provide for a woman that's out there that's actively dating and she's looking for her dear future husband and, you know, she's in the midst right now, just really trying to find Mr. Right and doesn't quite know the avenue to take. What action steps should she do for, we know prayer, of course. We want to pray and ask God. But after that, what would be the next step for somebody that's seeking, you know, to get married and find their husband?
One of the things I did was I found out what I did want. So I made a list of the stuff I did want. I identified those things. So I identified the fact that I could not deal with the passive man. I'm too aggressive. I need somebody that's going to be able to make decisions. You know, somebody that is God-fearing, someone that is not, I'm not talking about, you know, someone who said they got a relationship. What relationship you got? Where is the fruit? What is the manifestation of your relationship? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they have to be a certain, they have to be a certain caliber for me. You got to be comfortable with
something
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I'm not doing their projects. I'm not doing it.
I know,
you know
that's what right.
You
look, this ain't Builder Bob, okay? We're not building no man.
Have
no,
to come.
That's
but
it.
One of the biggest things, Kim, is whoever it is that's listening and, you know, you're out there and you want to give love another chance, you want to do a lot of stuff, present yourself as whole first. Start to love yourself. Start to have a relationship with yourself. Start to know what you like and what you don't. And then you can get to a place where now God can present you to somebody else. Because I was at a place where I was so broke. if he had put me in a relationship with you know, with my guy that I'm talking to now, if he had put me in a relationship with him, I would have destroyed him. Because at any drop of dime, I would have said, whatever, oh, I'm not doing this. This not, oh, I ain't got to take this. I don't got to do this, you know, whatever it is. So I needed to get myself together where I'm healed so that now I could date and be okay with dating. And then also, life is too short for me. This is my personal thing. Life is too short to be anything other than being fulfilled in a relationship. I'm not going to allow someone to mistreat me. I'm not going to compromise my belief system. And people will tell you, a lot of the guys that I talked to before I got into a relationship, they will tell me, oh, you're talking about waiting for sex until marriage. Oh, ain't nobody going to wait for that. Ain't nobody going to jump through hoops for you. Ain't nobody going to do all that stuff. And I said, well, then you're not the right one then. But I could have connected to him, right? I could have connected to him and they compromised everything that I believed. And now I'm trying to figure out why I'm compromised and trying to get myself together and get myself delivered from all the soul ties that I didn't got. So for me, it was important for me to complete myself as whole. My spiritual father said something to me, and he said, you are the complete package with your clothes, but your relationship is an accessory. I can go outside with my complete with my clothes on, meaning I can be by myself.
Right.
If I want a relationship, it should add something to my outfit. I don't have to have a man, but I want one. I don't have to have it. You ain't got to pay my bills. You ain't got to do all that stuff because I can do that for myself. But what I do need is I want a covering. I want a man that that can have a relationship with me. I want a man that, you know, like I said, can help me make decisions and do all that stuff because I'm not designed for that. I'm not designed to carry the load for a long period of time. So, you know, if those and looking for the green flags and not so much looking for the green flags in the relationship because that's what God gives you. And knowing when there's a knowing in your spirit where it's not right, give yourself permission to back up out of it. Don't just keep staying there just because.
And I love that you were saying, you know, when you feel that something's not right, act on it right away. Don't just sit and wait and think, you know, oh, it's going to change. Because that's what you were doing with hubby number one.
Yeah.
Waiting and thinking God was going to change it.
And another thing I want to say about that, too, there may be someone who's listening today that is stuck in a relationship like that. Maybe stuck in, and it would have been easier for me to stay than it was for me to leave. And let me just share this last part. I know we got to close, but I had five teenagers. I was overcoming fibromyalgia. I didn't have a stable job. I had a company, but I was building it. All of those things played a factor, and I can see why women will sometimes stay in a situation going through all of those things. Well, if that's you, there is life after divorce. You can be happy. You can do other things. You can rebuild a life, and it's not too late for you to do it. And so I feel like sometimes we get to a place to where we stay in situations because we feel like we can't do better.
That's it. Yep. That's the truth.
Yeah, there is hope. So, sis, if you stuck in something and you feel like it's the end of the world and you can't, I'm here to tell you as proof that you can.
Yeah.
You can start.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I lost you again. I was like, oh, no. Okay, I got you.
Oh, no.
But it's true. I love that because you are really, really delivering hope tonight and igniting a new purpose and passion in queens that, you know, have maybe, and kings. We know some men that may have, you know, been hurt as well. We're not going to put that all on men. There's men also that have been hurt by women. And so whichever way. Whatever direction or path it is, we just want for you to be encouraged. But I know that it just seems like, I don't know, this dating age is so different from years ago when I dated, like 20, 30 years ago. It seems like everyone, let me just keep it real, now people are just all about just only wanting to have sex. You know, they don't even want to get to know who you are. it's more like, okay, I'm not ready for no commitment, you know. What's another one I've seen and heard? Or the guy may have, or the woman may have a lot of kids. I'm talking about not just two or three. I'm talking about 10, 15 kids. I met a dude the other day in the store. He told me he had 13 kids. And I said, dude, that's irresponsible at this point. I said, are they all about the same woman? No, they're not. He told me he had 9 baby mamas. I'm just like, okay. There's no way I'm getting involved with none of that. Okay. I'm just like, what? So, I mean, it's just a lot of different things that are going on, right, for 9 baby mamas. Could you imagine Thanksgiving? Okay?
Yeah.
So, no, ma'am. It was a whole lot going on. And I'm like, dude, I'm barely functioning with my 3 I got. And you want to add 13 more? Absolutely not.
So, oh, thank you.
It just depends what you are looking for, what it is your heart's desire is. And I'm like you. Look, I know the value that God has put within me. I'm not settling. He got to be a king.
Right.
There's nothing else
right.
to decide. If you're not coming correct, and you know, girl,
So realize, though, like, this is the thing. There are certain things that I'm not willing to compromise. Your character, I'm not willing to compromise. I can deal
Bad.
With somebody that may be like, I like chocolate men, okay? That's just what I like. Now, I'm like
mm-hmm.
kids, so I like men. Now, but
right.
the thing is that is that something that can be negotiated for me? Yes, it is. I can't deal
right.
with a liar, though. Your character is big to me. I can't deal with a liar. I can't deal with a
That's
selfish
it.
Person. I can't deal with that because I'm a giver. So I need to
yep.
know what are your thought processes on things. Like what, and so knowing when you're out and you're dating, you're doing that stuff, if you can't see them as a potential, I don't go on that many dates with them. Like, we're not going to just keep dating and as a potential husband. I already know, number one, this is here. And the first date, I already had a red flag because XYZ happened. I already know this happened. So I'm intentional about dating. I'm not just going to date just to date, you know. And I really believe that God has someone prepared for each of us. And that person
yep.
is not going to take away from the relationship you have with God. It's going to push you closer to him.
Yep, that's it, you know, and I just feel that what you said makes a lot of sense. I'm not in the position right now where I'm really even thinking about dating because I just don't have the time, but whenever that does present itself, those are the principles
yeah.
that I would love to implement. You know, you got to make sure you have character. You got to, first and foremost, love God, mm-hmm. love, honor, and let me put this in here. Love, honor, and fear God. Because you could love them, but you don't fear them, and you're just doing whatever. I don't want that either, okay? You could do you fear God, you know? And then I love how you said it's ours. It's ours. Those that are coming
yeah.
in just to take, me. Stay away. Look, watch out for that, kings and queens. Watch out
Absolutely.
For that because that's dangerous. That is a huge red flag, okay?
It is.
You want someone that's going to come in and be an asset, not a liability.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the last thing that I'd love for you to do is share more. When is your book coming out? We want to hear about that.
My book will be out in July. I ran into some health challenges. I was trying to have it done by June, but I ran into some health challenges, so I'm releasing it. In fact, the 4th of July weekend is when I'm releasing it. So,
All
yeah.
right.
And
I'm ready, girl. You know I want my copy. I can't wait.
Absolutely.
I can't wait. Maybe once I start
Absolutely.
Journaling, sis, maybe I'll start manifesting some stuff. But, girl, look, the Lord, he going to be as busy as me and like to travel and be gone all the time like me because I ain't got time.
And he'll
give
you that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Listen, he going to want to be where I'm at because I'm be on the move. I appreciate you
yep.
so much, sis. We got to wrap it up. We only have a minute left remaining. Share where they can follow you on Facebook and Instagram.
You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook with Trinisha, that's T-R-I-N-S-H-A, Marie, M-A-R-I-E. So I'm both Trinisha Marie on Facebook and Trinisha Marie on Instagram.
All right. Yes. Well, make sure you guys show this sister some love. The Queen's got some amazing things happening. And if you're seeking and looking for a true husband, okay, and we say husband because that's what her book is called. If you're looking for a wife, you know, maybe she can help you with that too. But make sure that you get her book in July, all right, to make some massive changes in your life, all right? So I appreciate you coming on to Brown Sugar Radio. Again, you know, you're always welcome back, Queen. I love and appreciate you. You have been one of my loyal friends that's been with me for years. I'm talking from years, years, when our kids were little. And I just appreciate everything that you're doing, and you're making a difference in our community. And so thank you for that, and definitely in the kingdom of God. I love what you're doing. So awesome.
Thank you.
So definitely, yes. Brown Sugar Radio loyal listeners, please follow, support, like, and share. We want you to be a part of the movement that's taking place tonight. Also, make sure that you follow Brown Sugar Radio and on Facebook and Instagram, in addition to, I keep always forgetting to mention my life coach page, Kim Bullock Hennings. Follow me on Facebook and on Instagram. Well, we're going to go ahead and close for tonight, praying that you have been blessed. Thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment and empowerment is extraordinary. Make it a fantastic night.